গোপী জনে বলাবাই যাও গিরি গৌর ধারি, যাও গিরি গৌর ধারি, গোপী জন বলাবাই যাও গিরি গৌর ধারি, যাও গিরি গৌর ধারি, যাও রাধা যাও কোন যাবিহারি, যশোরানন্দনা যাও ব্রজ জন রঞ্জন, যশোরানন্দনা যাও ব্রজ জন রঞ্জন, যমুনা থিরবনাচারি যায় কুঞ্জাবি হারি, যায় যমুনা থিরবনাচারি যায় কুঞ্জাবি হারি, যমুনা থিরবনাচারি যায় কুঞ্জাবি হারি, যায় যমুনা থিরবনাচারি যায় কুঞ্জাবি হারি, যায় রাধা মাধব যায় কুঞ্জাবি হারি, Jayam Vishnupada Paramahansa Parivara Jakacharya Sutara Sutta Shri Shrimad is the Bangrishla Si Bhaktivaranta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Prem Sega Host Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhar Srivas Adi Gaura Bhaktivaranda Ki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Go Gopagopina Shyamakunda Radha Kundigiri Govardhana Ki Shri Vrindavan Dhamma Ki Shri Mayapur Dhamma Ki Ganga Mai Ki Jamuna Mai Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Tulasi Devi Ki Samaveta Bhaktivrinda Ki Jainatai Gaur Premanandi All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Na Yetat Param Ascharyam Svardunya Yad Ihoditam Ananta Charanamboja Prasutaya Bhavachchidaha Nahyetad Param Ascharyam Svardunya Yad Idhoditam Ananta Charanam Bojam Charanam Boja Prasutaya Bhavachchidaha Yetad Param Ascharyam Svardunya Yad Ihoditam Ananta Charamam Bhoja Prasutaya Bhavachchidaha. Na, not, he, indeed, etat, this, param, ultimate, ascharyam, wonderful thing, svardunya, of the water of the Ganges, yat, which, iha, herewith, uditam, has been described. Ananta, of the Supreme Lord, Charana Amboja, From the lotus of the feet. Prasutaya. Of that which emanates. Bhavachidaha. Which can liberate from material bondage. Simply by having water from the Ganges come in contact with the ashes of their burnt bodies, the sons of Sagar Maharaj were elevated to the heavenly planets. Therefore, what is to be said of a devotee who worships Mother Ganges faithfully with a determined vow? One can only imagine the benefit of that accrues to such a devotee. Because Mother Ganges emanates from the lotus toe of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ananta Deva, she is able to liberate one from material bondage. Therefore, whatever is described within about her is not at all wonderful. Purport. It has actually been seen that anyone who regularly worships Mother Ganges simply by bathing in her water keeps very good health and gradually becomes a devotee of the Lord. This is the effect of bathing in the water of the Ganges. Bathing in the Ganges is recommended in all Vedic Shastras, and one who takes to this path will certainly be completely freed from all sinful reactions. The practical example of this is that the sons of Sagar Maharaj went to the heavenly planets when water from the Ganges merely touched the ashes of their burnt bodies. So the Lord, He is perfect. And everything in connection to Him is also perfect. So we see here that the Ganges, because of her connection with the Lord, that's what then creates the specialness. That's what then causes the benefit that is accrued by touching the Ganges, seeing the Ganges, taking bath in the Ganges. So this process can't be over-emphasized. Because things that are connected to Krishna, their dearness to Krishna then is very special, right? Like the maybe confusing sometimes the terms used that the living entity is non-different from the Lord, or the devotees are non-different from the Lord, or Lord Shiva is non-different from the Lord. So this non-difference is based on the dearness that's there, right? How dear is the devotees and Lord Shiva is the best of the devotees to Krishna. And because of that, then there's a oneness, right? Because relationship is based on something common, some element of oneness. Otherwise, you can't have a relationship. So this aspect of relationship then becomes extremely important. And because of that relationship, then one is able to appreciate Krishna. Otherwise, if we don't see the pastimes of Krishna with his devotees, we would never actually understand what is happening, what's so special. And as Srila Prabhupada points out, is that Krishna, he means he's beautiful, but it's not something exceptional. It's when his internal potency expands, that's when his beauty takes on a very exceptional quality. Right? So, he is beautiful. He's the source of all beauty. So whatever we see that's beautiful, then that's just a portion of that beauty. So how beautiful is Krishna? He must be the most beautiful. But when his internal potency expands, that beauty increases greatly. Then you would say, now this is very beautiful. So that interaction between Krishna's devotees, that beauty that is then established at that time, or displayed at that time, that's the most attractive element. So these various features of Krishna are there because he has all these qualities. He is Anantadev. He is unlimited. But it's that sweetness between Krishna and his devotees that is the special thing. And because of that, even in these formal situations like the Ganges, still, it's because of that closeness, that dearness, that special quality is there. Right? That's then what this can be appreciated. So the Lord without the devotees, then he's Atmarama. You know, he's Paramatma, he's Brahman. You know, so all the unlimited qualities, all these aspects that we attribute to him as secondary names, then these are all there, and it's all correct. But in relationship to the devotees, then the sweetness that's there, that is then what is the, how you say, the natural impetus for developing love for Krishna. Krishna's sweetness is the natural impetus for developing love for him. The other things that he's great and everything like that, yes, that establishes that he's God and we're not. That gets us to give up our attempts to try to control and enjoy the material nature. But as far as developing that sweetness, that love, then that comes from the sweet aspects of the Lord. So we see even in Vaikuntha, where it's all about him being God, still they put a lot of emphasis on, in their prayers and that, on his sweet aspects. His kindness for the devotees, his care for the devotees, his protecting the devotees. So these aspects are always brought out, because it's from that aspect that developing love for him is the prominent. Not because he's God. You know, because God's just a fact. So just because there's a fact doesn't mean that you love it. Right? But because of the sweetness, then that's where this natural love comes up. So that the Ganges is so special, in one sense, is being pointed out here, that's not the specialness. Right? That she can do all these amazing things. That's not actually the specialness. Because, why? Because she's in contact with the Lord. So the Lord is who's special, and that contact with the Lord, that's what's special. Therefore, all these wonderful things happen as a natural course. So they're not separately special. They're special because of their relationship with Krishna. Yeah. So we see here, by regularly associating with the Ganges, by worshipping, taking bath, then one gets purified. Prabhupada points out, you just see it. Generally seen also, just devotees that make it part of their sadhana to bathe in the Ganga. It doesn't matter what season it is or anything. They go every day and they bathe. Some would go more, but by going in that, you just see over time, they become more and more gentle, more and more devotional. All these aspects, you just see them naturally happening. Right? So Prabhupada is pointing that out. So therefore, whatever is connected with Krishna, that connection, that will give this effect. So therefore, the association with the spiritual master, associating with the Dham, associating with the Ganga, Jamuna, with the Govardhan, all these different aspects of that's what's connected to Krishna, then this always gives this effect. So that's why then we see is that in the process, then that association with the devotees is the most important element. Other elements, then it's correct, they're true, but without the association of the devotees, without that inspiration, without seeing the wonderfulness of the interaction between the devotees and the Lord, and the devotees and the devotees, and the Lord and the devotees, then there is not going to be actually any inspiration. There won't be that attraction. Right? One might be attracted to get out of the material world, but then once you get out, now what do? Right? Standing outside the material world in the Brahman, what are you going to do? Does that make sense? Soul who's just light, in the Brahman, what's just light, and this is, you know, every direction there is. Now what? What do? Right? If you put on pure white, then you stood in a pure stark white room with, you know, thousands of watts of lights, just white light, no yellow or anything else. Then what are you going to do? And it's vast. You can walk around all day, not bump into the walls. Right? So all there is this just blank whiteness. Good? Nice? Exciting? You can say, yeah, but I'm out of that crazy room that I was in with all those crazy people. Yeah, and now what? Right? After a while, crazy will be looking good. Right? Because after you get bored, then you think, okay, yeah, well, it's not so bad. You know, they're only crazy when we get together. You know, if we don't get together, then they're not crazy, you know. Right? We have a way of rationalizing it and making it look okay. So that's the point, is that that association, that interaction, that's what's special. That's what's special to Krishna. Because he's already Brahman. He's already Paramatma. He's already self-satisfied. So for him, then the interaction with the devotee is based on affection. That's actually what is meaningful. So that's the actual main thing here. It's not just the greatness of the Ganges. Great is there, but it's that connection with Krishna that makes the greatness of the Ganges special. Yeah, interesting here also, Vamanadeva is called as Anantadeva, because he's manifesting that quality of unlimitedness. So he's a small dwarf taking that shape, or that form. Then he goes to Bali Maharaj, who's on Sutala, which is quite low down on the 14 planetary systems. And then from there, then he expresses his toe and it pokes through the top of the universe. Right? And to get all the way through, the volume of the universe inside is extremely small compared to what's out, the coverings. Right? You have whatever's there, you know, your 4 billion miles. Then you have the first layer is 10 times that, right? So 40 billion. Right? The next one is 10 times that, so 400 billion. Next times that is 4 trillion. Then like this, so there's 7 layers. So it's way bigger than whatever's inside. And he takes his toe all the way till he pokes it outside. Right? Just go out a little bit. Purusha Shukta mentions he'll go out by 10 fingers width. You know, so that means that much width more. Right? Just to show that, you know, he didn't just do it. He did it and went a little beyond. Right? So then, and then from that, then the water of the Viraj then comes in. And then we know it's the Ganga, and then she purifies everything because of that touch to the lotus feet of the Lord, right? So that aspect then is, you know, he's unlimited. He can do all these things, but why? The unlimited, he is unlimited, but showing it, we see, is because of his connection with the devotees. Otherwise, he doesn't have to show it to himself, right? Because that's what he is. He already is that. So then for the pastimes of the devotees, then we see, then he'll show. So in this pastime, then he shows that unlimited aspect. So he stretches his foot till he gets to that far. Right? But again, it's only because of the interaction with the devotees. Right? In his interaction with the demigods, then with Bali Maharaj, you know, then we're able to appreciate by hearing the pastime. So all this comes is that these qualities he manifests because of that relationship with the devotees. Otherwise, then, without having to manifest them, he already has them. They're already there. It's already going on. By Brahman, he's already expanding unlimitedly in all directions. Right? So to do that himself in a pastime, then that's just for the devotees. So, yeah? Any questions or comments on this, or... No. Weather's cooling down. No? Okay. I'll end here then. You have? Okay. What?
I was thinking about what are some of the obstacles in having that connection with Krishna? Because you spoke about having that purifier thing. And one of the thing I wanted to ask about, what's the process of overcoming some of the addictions or habits that are not favorable to Krishna consciousness? Maybe like addiction to phone, or attachment to a person who's not in Krishna consciousness. So,
who's on the other end of the phone? It means carrying on in the same principle. It's that association with the devotees, becoming attached to that which connected to Krishna. That's then what takes us beyond all these things, because we're so used to the idea that the Krishna's energies are going to give us happiness. Because we see that Krishna and the devotees, they interact, and so in that there's activities, there's results, there's knowledge, all these different things are going on. So all the secondary activities are happening. And we see there's results and people are happy from this. Krishna's happy, the devotees are happy, right? But we make the mistake that we think it's the activities themselves that is causing the happiness, rather than it's the connection to Krishna and the expression of devotion through those secondary items. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, therefore then we come to material consciousness. Right? Does that make sense? So, we think that these secondary things can give happiness in themselves. They'll give some experience. You do anything, you get an experience. You drop a brick on your toes, you'll get an experience. You know what I'm saying? So any mechanical transformation or manipulation of the Lord's energies will produce some kind of experience, right? Because it's happening through the senses and the intelligence. So you're going to experience something. Does that make sense? You know, if wind blows by, you feel it. There's movement, you'll feel it. So in the same way as when the energy is transforming, it will give an experience, but we're taking it that experience is actually the happiness. No, that's just an experience. You know what I'm saying? So, I say, let us say, okay, just like eating, okay? Now in eating, what's going on? What do we say, what's the main experience of eating? Taste, right? We're going to say taste. But now if we look at it mechanically, what's eating? Is it taste? The mechanics of it. You're picking things up, you're putting them in your mouth, then you're, with your teeth and your tongue, you're squashing them and mushing them around. And then you're swallowing. That's the mechanics of eating. Because if you don't do any of that, do you get a taste? No. Okay. Now, what if we give you something to follow that mechanical process that doesn't have any taste? Does that make sense? Now, would we say this is eating? No. But technically it is. So that's what goes on in the material world. We do the mechanics of activity of the spiritual world without the taste of Krishna. And you'll get some feeling when you mush things around in your mouth, you'll get a feeling. And we're taking that feeling that's the ecstasy of eating. You know? Does that make sense? Yeah, today, lunch, it was so mushy. You know, wow, we had this preparation today. It was like, I've never seen so much mushiness. Right? That's material. You understand? So we're thinking we're getting something from this. One is that we're projecting that we'll get something from it because someone else does the same thing and doesn't have the same experience. Right? Because it's just a projection. Oh, if I eat this, then I'll be happy. Someone else eating that's not happy, and someone else eating something different is happy. What you say is shouldn't be eaten, they eat and they're happy, and what they eat, then you're not happy. So it's just how you project. You know what I'm saying? So the whole point is that we judge things by that secondary aspect. You know, yeah, well, so how did you like it? Yeah, not mushy enough. You understand? But we don't talk about taste. It's the connection with Krishna. So, without Krishna involved, the soul can't get anything. The soul is identifying with the body and subtle body, and so therefore what transformations come in the gross and subtle body, we'll consider that the experience rather than the connection with Krishna. Right? Now, for all activities to happen, even in the spiritual world, is because of Krishna. It's his potency. Right? It's not something separate. Right? So, therefore, what's actually even working, even the mechanics that we take and experience of that, even that's Krishna. So even in the eating process, Krishna is the mushiness. But the point is that because it's not direct, if we think the mushiness is great, how great would it be if there's taste? So even if we think these things are nice, whatever we're getting that's nice from that, that's coming from Krishna anyway. So if it comes from Krishna, why do these activities? Why not do something that's directly connected to Krishna that actually gives real taste? Does that make sense? So that's how you switch. Right? Unless you're really attached to camel, then you won't switch. Right.
It usually happens that when we are performing Krishna conscious activities, that taste comes and we are, let's say, absorbed for maybe we are doing that for 6, 7 hours, 8 hours. But for then, after that, remaining some hours, we need some private space where we can, and that's where the challenge comes.
Yeah, so it's just, the point is if that's 7 hours, which is pretty good, so then now it's, and you're going to sleep, right? No? So then you're going to have there, 13, 14 hours gone, right? So then that's only going to leave you 10 hours. So now you just have to work on those 10. Right? So that means basically almost half of your day is done. No? So the point is it's the same thing as whatever taste you're getting in those other time, it's still coming from Krishna. But you're not enjoying it in connection with Krishna. It is Krishna, but you're not enjoying it with Krishna. So how much taste is there? How satisfied will you be? How satisfied will Krishna be? Does that make sense? Yes, no? So it's just a matter of you have to think. It's not some trick. It means we bring these things up, but we have to look at it. Do we want a solution? Or is it just something to complain about, and by complaining then that it has a taste itself? Right? Because if I'm complaining, okay, let's say you're there, you're complaining, okay? This problem, the mind, this, that, and all these things. Okay, who's the center of attention here? Yeah. So is it about finding a solution, or is it just, a pleasant devotional way to get attention? And then whoever has the biggest problem, then they get the attention. Does that make sense? So it's a matter of using the intelligence. That's why then this process, this is part of Jnana Yoga, is that you use the intelligence to analyze and see, yeah, there's not much there. But if that itself works for you, good. If not, then having done that, then apply yourself in, the regular external practices. Does that make sense? It means when we say external here, we mean to do with the body and senses. Where Jnana Yoga is internal, but that internal means the subtle body. Because bhakti means the soul. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of what works for you. Then you just see that you're engaged in more practical things. Or if you like looking at screens that are supposedly intelligent, then find a service that's what you do all day. You know what I'm saying? Because now they do have computers with big screens that you can actually touch and make things work. Right? So then keep yourself busy. Do that for Krishna. Right? If it's nothing about the screen, then find something else to do. Like clean the temple or serve prasad or go out on preaching or... Does that make sense? Is that okay? Okay. Anything else, sir? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, you mentioned that different things, they have this potency of, you know, purification, purifying us,
yes,
depends on the connection with Krishna.
Yes.
But how we choose, like for us, which is, what should we apply in our life from, you know, all these different things?
Means what do we apply in our life from all these things, of all the tadiya?
Yeah, just like tulsi and everything. How we choose which is best for us?
It's what works. The association of devotees is always the most important. And then after that, then you take advantage of what's there. Like here, we're in Mayapur, you have the Dham, service to the Dham, you have the Ganga, you can do service there. We have Didi's Radha Madhava, you have so many, you know, various aspects you can do. You just keep yourself busy. You find, according to you, what you are comfortable with and do that. Point is whatever you do, if you focus and try to do that nicely for Krishna, then it will have effect. Does that make sense? So it's not specific. It's just what works for you.
I mean, another question, like regarding to this, why, for example, this Maharaj, he decided to help his, you know,
his forefathers.
Yeah, forefathers.
Please.
By Ganges, not by
why
Ganges.
Not? What would he have done instead? Should he have helped the kids down at the orphanage, or, you know, gotten mosquito nets for all those kids, and, you know, how you say, in, you know, mosquito, what do you call it, ridden places all around the world? You know, I mean, what should he have done instead?
Pray to Vishnu, for example, directly. Why he chose the Ganges?
Why he chose the Ganges? Did he choose the Ganges?
I think what he's trying to say here is, okay, why did he apply this method of trying to bring the Ganges down? He could have apparently gone so many other avenues. He could have, you know, like prayed to Vishnu directly. He could have, you know, brought tulsi leaves there, or so many other things. Why did he go this route?
But it's what Lord Shiva said, no? Huh? Lord Kapila said. So he already approached Vishnu as Kapila Dev, and then he said, when the Ganga comes. So in other words, Kapila Dev, that's his ashram. And now he's on the bank of the ocean. But it would be, you know, so nice to be on the bank of the Ganga. So therefore, then let the devotee make that effort. You know what I'm saying? If things just happen, then where's the pastime? Where's the fun? Right? We may have this idea that we do nothing and it all just happens. But actually it's the interaction. It's just like, okay, the child is there, they do nothing, and then there's a birthday party. You know, so then they enjoy and this and that. But how much more enjoyment actually is there amongst the adults who have arranged it and then seeing how happy they are? You know what I'm saying? So it's in arrangements that is happening. Otherwise, if it's just going to happen, with Krishna, everything's already happening. So he doesn't actually have to do anything. But it's that endeavor to interact with the devotees that makes it special, right? And in this, then you see the human pastimes become the sweetest, because then there's the most activities to be done. As God in Vaikuntha, we just hear, you know, he comes out and they worship and prayer and this and that, and he may go for a procession, or we don't really hear of much interaction. You know, he takes his bath and he interacts and like this and that, but you don't hear of big pastimes. Like whenever we discuss what's happening in Vaikuntha, it never talks about those things. The only pastime we know of in Vaikuntha is the pastime of Jaya and Vijaya with the Kumaras. Right? So, but we see Krishna in Goloka, because he performs human pastimes, then it's always going on. There's always some endeavor or something going on, because otherwise, what do you, you know, if he's already situated eternally in perfection, so to increase on that, then you do activities. Does that make sense? Yes? No? Makes sense to you? Yeah, okay. Yeah, so why not? You know? Anything else? Or? Yes.
I've heard that in my pool the water comes from Ganges, so when we take a bath at home, does it give same effect as taking bath in the river itself?
Means anything within, I think it's 3 miles of the Ganga is Ganga water. So we're that close, so anything coming is Ganga water. But the difference will be if you go down to the Ganga and you take bath, will you remember Ganga? And if you take bath at home, do you ever remember Ganga? Right? No. Yeah, so there will be effect, but it won't be as much as if you go down and take bath. Now, if you're there, remember that, and then that respectfulness to the water, and then in that way then take your bath, then you'll get more benefit. But it's always that direct association always has a specialness. Right? Yeah. Anything else? No? Good. Okay, Jai. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jainatai Gaura Premanandini.